In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time for our Manager's Report, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And we were just talking about how the fan base right now needs a dose of confidence and calmness. And we know we always get that. One of the strengths of the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, with us right now on 97.3 The Fan. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing really well, man. How are you doing?
No complaints here.
Yeah, same here. I wanted to ask you, right? It's kind of a two-parter, Skip, so forgive me. But we talked, the last couple of days about Matt Waldron and how much he stepped up when this team needed him the most. Two-parter is, what did you see from him kind of in his last few starts, right? And then how tough is that conversation that you have to have with a guy like Matt Waldron when he's done so much? You know, this was not like a, hey, it's just a roster crunch, you'll be back in no time. It's, hey, you got to pack and you got to go to El Paso. And how tough is that for a skipper to do?
It's way harder for the player, obviously, but not an easy conversation at all. None of those conversations are, but, you know, especially with Maddie, it was one of the more challenging ones for everybody involved. The fact of the matter is, you know, we're in a really good spot, and a good reason for that is because of Matt. You know, he really pitched well for a long period of time. He also, he was the guy that stayed on term pretty much the whole season. We know we need some, over the course of a long season, it's important that, especially for guys that are going through it for some of the first times, you know, and Maddie's one of them, you know, to make sure they get the right blows over the course of the season. And, you know, just he was the guy that was able to continue to take the ball. You know, we didn't give him the All-Star break, is can typically be a time where we can reset, which we did with Dylan and Michael and some of the guys, but really only gave an extra day to Waldy. There were multiple times where he just, you know, stayed on either regular rest or just an extra day. We always do our best to take care of every single guy, but it doesn't always work out. And, you know, Matt was able to take the ball. You know, we wanted to have a break for, you know, almost every guy this season. Of course, you know, Joe got his, and, you know, Vasquez has been up and down, and, you know, Michael, you know, he got a couple really with the All-Star break, was able to give him some extra days. And then, you know, kind of was a blessing that he took the comebacker in Baltimore he missed a start, and, you know, it was 11 days before he got on a game mound and pitched. So that was turned out to be a little bit of a built-in blow. And Dylan, again, also with Michael and Dylan, we've been able to, you know, take advantage of the schedule and give them extra days here and there. And then Dylan, you know, with the rain situation in Pittsburgh, you know, that created a little bit of a blow as well for him. But the wrap-up point to all of it is Matty didn't really get that. And, you know, we wanted to give him a blow at some point in the course season, and now the opportunity and time has presented itself now.
Talking to Mike Schilt, was exciting yesterday to see Fernando Tatis Jr. out there on the field, pregame sprints, going to get back into the cages either today or soon, according to what you said after the game. I know there's a reason why you're not going to put an exact timetable on it, and I won't ask you about exactly when he's coming back, but I will ask you, what are you kind of looking for in terms of how fast he can come back? Like, are there things that you want to see, boxes you still want to see checked, other than just getting him back to, you know, strength and health and being able to sprint around the bases?
Yeah, I mean, there is a timeline. There's a plan, but it only goes according to how he recovers, and so that's why you don't want to make it anything official or absolute, because it can get pushed back a day, get accelerated a day if he's feeling good, or multiple days. But yeah, we don't want to. We've got a plan. You know, what we're looking for is him being able to do all the baseball activities without any hindrance. And every guy's a little more unique. The thing that I appreciate, first of all, is, you know, the fact that he's getting back and he's getting closer. So that's clearly good news. Him being able to ramp up his intensity is means he's getting closer. So that's good news for all of us. Every player's a little different. You know, we trust our players. We got a great medical staff. Our staff is outstanding in how they go about taking care of our guys, keeping them healthy, the ones that are on the roster, and they do a phenomenal job with the guys that are coming back from something. We really do have an A-plus medical group that work extremely hard. But, yeah, you just want to make sure that you also partner with the player. You know, Bogey, we sat him down with all the, you know, coaches, you know, field coaches, you know, infield, base running, you know, hitting, the strength conditioning, of course, the medical, and, you know, Bogey weighed in as well. Same with Toddy, you know, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Guys that have experience in the league that knows what it takes to get their body ready for a season or to come back from something. You know, we want to make sure they're involved. That's just is common sense to me. And we've done that with Toddy, and he's been able to share what he thinks. And, you know, we'll do the appropriate amount of rehab relative to bats and, you know, throwing the bases and getting on the bases and running. And, you know, we'll trust the people that, you know, are with him when we're not with him in the organization. And, you know, we have a lot of quality people in our player development system that will continue to work with him when we're not around. And, you know, it takes a village, so to speak. And then, you know, we'll use our experiences too. We'll weigh in with him, and we'll get him back on the field when it's the right day.
You talk about lanes, Skip. We're talking to Mike Shildt here on Ben and Woods this morning. You always talk about lanes, finding a lane for a certain player, whether position player, pitcher, whatever it may be. Obviously, we know and appreciate how much you prioritize defense. I mean, I think every coach does. And how tempting, though, is it for you, given what Donovan Solano's been able to do, not only off the bench, but when he gets some starts? How tempting is it for you to just, I don't know, maybe put defense on the back burner and say, we got to get his stick in the lineup?
Well, I guess it's hard to, you know, I'll answer the question. I mean, it's hard. The guy takes a great at bat. He's filled a beautiful role. I mean, you know, I like the fact that guys know what their roles are. It helps players' roles change, you know, for a variety of reasons. But we've been able to be pretty consistent with our play based on the roles we've gotten. He's been able to get in the lineup against lefties. You know, we get him an opportunity in the right amount, at the right times when he's coming off the bench. And I feel like that's been productive. I think we picked the right opportunity for him. So I feel like we got a good spot for Donovan. I guess the question I'd probably ask you back is for who?
It's a good question. It's a fair question, yeah. Mike. It's a good question that you ask. And, yeah, I mean, If he was a really good shortstop, well, it's a pretty easy answer, right? But it's not. So I know you have to do some maneuvering here and there. And, you know, with Ariza's thumb, he's battling through it, picked up a couple knocks. Like, he's such a great dude to watch hit. You know, I mean, when you have a guy that's hitting as well, I kind of understand the finding the lane for him, and when it's working, why mess with it? So I do understand that aspect, but I just wanted to know, like, from a manager's perspective, is it something that you maybe grind over just a little bit as you're like, ah, man, I'd like to get him in there. He does give us a good AB.
Yeah, get him in there. I don't, you know, listen, I love the guy's at bat. I love the guy. I've known him since he was 16 years old. You know, he's a good player. He's a great at bat, you know. You know, we have good players. So I don't really know who that would be for. Sure. Still.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You talk about, you know, roles and lanes. Something you talked about earlier this week fascinated me, and I wanted just to explore it a little bit more, was the difference between playing shortstop and second base. I think for a lot of just, you know, baseball fans, you look at it and go, they're up the middle. One's a longer throw, obviously. One's a shorter throw. So you put the guy with the better arm at short, and you leave it at that. And you kind of talked about how it's so much more. Give us your perspective on why it's more different than maybe a lot of us realize.
Well, I mean, it's really depends a little bit on your background. You know, if you've played both, it can be clearly easier if you've grown up playing them both. But they are different, you know, and it's I think it's easier to go from second to short. Not that it's easy. And a lot of guys have done both and been more of the utility guy, you know, but at shortstop, you're coming in. And effectively, every play you're making is working towards first base. You know, whether, you know, you got the ball in the hole, that's clearly a little bit different. But, you know, pretty much everything else you're working and coming in, routine ground ball, your rhythms to first base, you know, slow roller, your rhythms to first base, your movements to first base, ball to your left. But I think the biggest one is you know, turning the double play. You know, you're coming in from first or second, getting a feed, and you're facing the, you know, first base where you're throwing, and your momentum's taking you that way. At second base, you know, even when you're coming in on the ball, on a ball that's right at you, you're still working closer to more of home plate. And, of course, if you have a backhand or a chopper, you know, you're still having to throw across your body more. You know, the only ball that you're really working and flowing towards first base is that ball to your glove side, and that puts you in a rhythm to go right to first base. And then, you know, now you talk about the double play, and you know, if you've ever done it, it's just different. And so when you're making that feed, whether it's coming across the bag or coming back off the bag, depending on where the throw takes you, or you know, if the you know, pivot is a little closer to the, you know, guy that's feeding it from short, you know, you may come back off the bag. But either way, regardless of which way, and there is multiple pivots, your back is to the runner, and then you're having to open up, and your footwork is just completely different to be able to throw to first base. And you know, I know the question's been asked, I'm guessing the question's asked based on Bogey. And, you know, again, what a tremendous job he's done, A, to be willing to go over there, and B, to acclimate as quickly as he has. He worked really hard to really do a nice job. It's probably getting settled in. But, you know, like your hip action and your pivoting, it's just, like I said, it's different. So if you're not used to it, you got a blind spot, which isn't comfortable, and you got to get used to. And then you've got different movements of your body that need to be adjusted, and how you know, make that pivot. So there's a fair amount to it.
Talking to Mike Shield here on Ben and Woods this morning. Obviously, Joe Musgrove back on the bump tonight. Everyone's excited to see him pitch. Everyone's excited to see him pitch against the Mets, where he has a little bit of history, Skip. And you know, when do we? How's he feeling? Number one, I know he's had two really nice starts for you. When do the restrictor plates come off, or is that game dependent? And how he does?
Well, you know, you typically, first of all, it's great to have Joe back. He's had really two, you know, efficient starts, effective starts. You know, efficient in pitch count and effective in results. You know, Joe's obviously a great competitor, fills up the zone, you know, has multiple pitches working, you know, so he's looked good. You know, he went from 63, I think, was his first outing. He got to 72 last outing. You know, a typical progression, but we don't force it, is probably about a 15-pitch ramp up from the previous one in games. So, you know, he's starting to get built up to where, you know, he's just a regular starter that can go out and grab six or seven, you know, but we'll, like always, we'll monitor what that looks like and see how hard he's working and evaluate that.
Mike, I know every organization takes metrics now seriously, whether it's hitting or pitching or even fielding, but I wanted to ask you about your opinion of defensive metrics, because sometimes, you know, we watch a player like Manny Machado, and he's clearly not just good, he's one of the best of all time defensively at his position at third base, just makes it look so smooth, but he doesn't always fare that well in some of like the advanced, you know, outs above average type defensive metrics. So how much stock do you put in those defensive metric numbers versus your own personal eye test on defense?
I love using the metrics and the analytic information to, as part of the equation, it can crystallize, you know, what we're doing well, an area that can, you know, need some improvement. But it's, you know, like anything, there's nothing absolute about it. It's a wonderful resource to use. You know, and it starts to crystallize, you know, what individually we need to work on more and then maybe get more specific with some of the, you know, is it the jump? Is it a route? Is it a certain play? And then it allows our work to be efficient with that player, or it could be something that, you know, big picture that it reflects a team that needs to be doing something more or less of. But, you know, it's definitely a tool. You know, the thing that's interesting about it is we talk about a lot internally is making sure we qualify the right information and understand the baseball side to it, because sometimes a player can get dinged for something and, you know, it may not be reflected as intuitively from the analytics side. And then that's why we spend a lot of time, which we have a great analytic department, research development department. These guys are awesome. They really do a great job. Their positioning recommendations are very, very good. You know, so we partner with our baseball side. We partner with our analytics side, and we talk about, you know, the why behind, you know, where a guy was playing or, you know, whether he made the play or not. You know, but specific to Manny and the eye test, you know, I don't, you know, I can tell you this. There's, I don't know who else I'd trade for him to go play third base. And I know when the game's on the line, I want the ball hit to him, and he's made plays that normal big leaguers don't make. I mean, it makes him look easy.
All the time.
You know, he saved our bacon, you know, multiple times defensively and made some really outstanding plays and some really challenging plays that, you know, the crony helps on the other side too, because it's not easy to make a long, accurate throw from 130 feet away on the run with your back turned. But most of the time he's pretty accurate. So I don't know if that answer your question, but that's kind of
it's good. I laugh because sometimes the metrics, well, Manny's actually the 13th best third baseman in baseball. No, he's not. That's ridiculous. We all know that he's one of the best of all time, and sometimes the numbers don't always reflect that, but how you guys use it, it's an interesting answer and interesting conversation today. Good luck, of course, tonight. I will remind everybody, Padres have won 9 of their last 10 series, and they could still take this one from the Mets with a good weekend here, and we hope you do it. Mike, thank you much for your time.
You're quite welcome. Enjoy your day.
Thank you very much. That is Mike Shildt, the manager of the Padres. Our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.